Well, usually Antonio Flores joins me in the studio, but of course we're socially distancing. So, Antonio, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Yourselves?
Very good. Thank you very much. We did have a caller waiting, but he wants to see if you cover his answer before he gives the question, so he doesn't really want to preempt that. So, Antonio, it's a strange time we're living in, and I've got a question that's come in already through a friend of mine, and I think I already know the answer. I've given them an answer already, but just to kind of cover this as well, they've been told that they've got to move house.
Okay.
But from what I gather, that's not an option at the moment.
From next Monday, non-essential activities are going to resume again. So that would mean moving houses as well. That's going to be allowed.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes, correct, correct. I mean, construction and all the non-essential activities, employment activities, or, obviously medical is always essential, and food. Things that are not necessarily... actually essential are going to be resuming on Monday after Easter. So yes, okay. That will be a possibility. What we will need to do is they will need to prove that, for example, they're moving homes, documents or something. Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously don't drive two people in one car, which is not acceptable.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of issue. Now, of course, we're in a unique situation, Antonio. It's unprecedented. That word's been used a lot lately, hasn't it? And what do you foresee are some of the issues coming out of lockdown that are going to be taken up legally by people?
Okay, well, we've sort of identified three areas where people are going to be looking to somehow utilise the law. Trying to repair any damage which has been caused to them, or try to get them situations which are sort of all of a sudden affecting them pretty gravely. For example, I'm just thinking right now, residential and commercial rental contracts, and what is happening with those is thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in this country, where that are in very complicated situations. They're not getting an income. Their landlords or landladies are not expecting not to get paid.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've already got a situation for a potential dispute. And unfortunately, the government hasn't covered these situations. All they've done is for the more vulnerable people, people who don't reach a certain threshold, the banks would be getting certain loans. Actually, not the banks, but the Spanish public employment system would be giving some loans or grants for up to 6 years with no interest.
Yeah.
But it's hardly going to help people who've got businesses, for example. So they are.
Do you think, Antonio, that the government are really haven't stepped up to the mark on some of the things that need to be done to help people out?
One of the things they said in this country was they needed to hibernate the economy, to freeze the economy. Now, to do that, it's very complicated, because if you freeze part of the economy, if you don't freeze the other half or the other part, whatever percentage that is, then you've got a big imbalance. So if you freeze, for example, restaurant activities, bar activities, well, these people are paying rental on their premises.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that?
Well, that should be frozen as well, shouldn't it, surely?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that should have been done right at the beginning. They should have frozen the whole line of activity in that respect. So, for example, people who've got bars and they cannot serve drinks or food or whatever, they should be, all of that line of business should be completely frozen so that nobody's is damaged. Because otherwise, what you're going to see now is they're going to have to try to reach individual agreements, and that's already putting more stress onto bar owners, restaurant owners, hotel owners, people who are just trying to make a normal living, especially when summer is approaching.
I think because people are it's not like people are choosing to close. They've been told you need to close, otherwise you'll be arrested. You'll be fined or arrested.
Completely.
Or lose your license. Yeah. So it's not. I think there's been a lot of people complaining about, you can't do this, that, and the other. It's not like people have chosen to shut the shop or to shut the schools or whatever. They've had to do it.
It's shut. It's shut us down policy. Complete. Shut it down. You just cannot open. Some people, I've seen on TV some bars opening illegally, sort of clandestine bars, just to serve drinks. Can you believe that? What funny world we're in now.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a source of potential conflict, which we are seeing. And apart from trying to reach individual agreement, because, you know, we don't think they should reach courts because, you know, they haven't, unless, of course...
Oh, be overloaded.
Unless either party is trying to be take advantage of the situation. Yeah. For example, someone who says, well, listen, I'm not going to pay you for 6 months. Well, that's not right. But I'm also hearing things from landlords saying, you know, that the rent is up next month and there's a renewal contract and, you know, there's another 10% on top.
Yeah.
That's also not acceptable because we're also going to see prices coming down generally. So that's one area of conflict. The other one we see is, for example, consumers associations, TRIPS governed by consumer contract and consumer association really stepping in flights, for example, travel tours, packed holidays. You know, how many people have already booked for summer?
Yeah.
In some countries, in the UK, they book a year in advance. So you've already got as well potential conflict.
Our situation, we were meant to be in Norway today. I was meant to be off and Jess Sweeney was meant to be doing this show. So we're the process is still going through. We're trying to claim back from Ryanair the flight because the flight was cancelled, and also I had a night booked away at a hotel on the Costa del Sol, and when I rang the hotel, I said, "I just want to see about getting the money back." I said, "Oh, you cancelled your booking?" I said, "No, I've not cancelled it." you were closed. It's not me because I thought the language that you use. I said, "I'm not cancelling anything." So you've cancelled it, or you've had to, you know, or the government's cancelled it, whatever way you want to look at it. But I'm sure there's going to be issues like that, people trying to get their money back on stuff.
I mean, definitely. We are, for example, trying to get a big deposit on a hotel, paid on a hotel for a family that was coming from abroad to spend 2-3 weeks to find a property. So the hotel is saying, don't worry, we'll give you a voucher so that when this is all sorted, then you can get your money back. You know, I can understand as well that it's not the hotel's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So in a way, you know, I think there should be a bit of a flexibility in both parts, you know. And thirdly, you know, the other thing which is quite interesting is claims against the Spanish state. Now, this, I think... links very well with what is happening in the UK. How did Johnson's government approach the strategy of allowing the virus to spread and to build up immunity?
They had the Cheltenham horse race on over there literally a week before the lockdown, and I know similar situations here.
You know, I mean, I think we should talk about Johnson when he's in such a situation himself right now, but, you know, that in itself in Spain, they did the same. Probably not... In such an open manner, but they did allow some feminist, you know, they love these feminist demonstrations in Spain, you know. And so they allowed them to thrive in Madrid with hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, they were effectively saying that, you know, men kill more than coronavirus do. And, you know, with all these, because they're all showing them now, you know, the right-wing parties are using this as a propaganda, political propaganda thing. So they're all showing all these, you know, they were very disrespectful of the whole situation. So is that going to be something that citizens will be able to claim? Someone who's lost his or her father or mother, for example, because of these demonstrations, is the government or the state of Spain responsible for that because of lack of foresight, you know, lack of preparation? It's going to be a difficult one.
It is a difficult one, Antonio, isn't it? Because, you know, we've all got hindsight and now and thinking how bad it is. But at the time, you know, were we all just going along with it as well? But then again, it's not our job to run the country, is it? So
yeah, but you see, so as things develop, we are getting more and more people publishing information which we didn't have. For example, they were publishing in January that the Spanish Ministry of Health was already arranging for, you know, masks and for, you know, these overall, the plastic things for protection because they knew something was coming. So different parts of the government were working in different velocities, different speeds. So, okay, I've seen some lawyers already trying to pitch, you know, the population for these things. I think that's wrong. An opportunist way of seeing things, but I'm sure there's going to be someone claiming, and, you know, especially when you have people dying, maybe it's not so much of the money side of things, but people dying, people who who could have maybe otherwise be saved.
Yeah.
Again, it's difficult. Yeah. We have the case of China, but China is so difficult to get information from, so opaque, you know, that it's, if we would be in another country like the US, we would have probably protected ourselves in a better way. But things happening in China just seems that, you know, we had already the previous virus some years back in Spain, Europe wasn't affected, so... But that's another area of conflict.
Well, Antonio, before you go, I just want to ask, politically, I know because you've got your eye on the politics here as well, in this country. At the moment, you know, there is some solidarity between the parties, you know, on the lockdown, and, you know, they've all agreed it's the right thing to do. But there are murmurings, aren't there, from Vox and from Partido Popular and others that are saying, you know, this can't carry on the way it is. It looks like it could all fall apart, this kind of solidarity at you know, any given moment.
Yeah, but the issue here is that, you know, already some parties, right-wing, mostly Vox and PP, they already started to question whether the lockdown is not going to cause more harm than what we already have. In other words, if the you know, if this whole thing of spending weeks on end sitting at home to try to save, and this is what they say, to try to save a few lives, it's not going to be worse in the long run if we do actually go into a very deep recession and you end up having people committing suicide as a result of it, like we saw in 2008 and 2009. So there's a lot of things now. A lot of people are saying different things. It's a
psychological side. There's also been talk in Italy about the more anti-European Union stuff going on there. So there's a whole load of different aspects going on here, you know, isn't there, and dynamics.
It's very complicated. I mean, the situation is completely unprecedented. So, nobody could have predicted the scale of what came.
Yeah. We got a call on the line. Good afternoon, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Antonia.
Hi, hello.
Just to say that this is a very difficult situation, and for the right wing to be diving in there now, saying that that all this lockdown is not necessary for the sake of a few lives. If you look at the science behind it, because Johnson took a lot of convincing as well, as did Trump. If you look at the science, it's totally necessary, and thousands more would have died if they hadn't done this. And I think to start them scoring political points at this point is disgraceful. And I think during the recession with the bankers' criminality, it wasn't the financial crisis, it was the bankers' criminality. The PP put their people through absolute hell while they were also defrauding vast amounts of the economy. So, it's pots and kettles, and I think it's so unfair for either side to come down on one side. I'm not even blaming Johnson for this, because I think the British government did what they thought was right at the outset. And I think it's so wrong. And what annoys me is there will be a recession, but you watch the right-wing politicians make the same people suffer when they won't need to.
And Sharon, you know who's going to be paying for it all, don't you, as well?
You and me.
Me and thee, yes.
Yes. And they will not let the small man off. It'll be the big people. The rich won't be paying any more taxes, but we will, and be more homeless and stuff. And the economists for the financial crash, the economists were all saying, the big boys were all saying, not the big boys, the main economists were all saying austerity for 2 or 3 years and then stop and then build the economy, invest in the economy. The politicians chose not to do that, and look what happened.
Sharon, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
It is a bit of a minefield, isn't it? But again, with the way in which the politics are in Spain at the moment, Antonio, because it's kind of on a knife edge anyway, regardless of whether there's this virus around, we weren't sure how long this coalition was going to last.
The one thing I can say is that politicians are getting paid their full salaries. They're not getting any cuts, So as far as we're concerned, They should be listened to, but maybe not entirely. I mean, they're not suffering the brunt of it. Of course, they have high levels of stress. But, they chose to be there in the first place anyway. But, I haven't seen any politician say, I'm going to have you know, a pay cut of 50% of my salary to help.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice.
It would be very nice. Yeah. It would be very nice, and we're still waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
So when that happens, then I think we can start taking them a bit more seriously. You know, but for the time being, okay, the disease seems to be now sort of contained in Spain. You know, the 1,000 deaths, so death, 1,000 death mark hasn't been surpassed. They're going down now. And I would say that in 3 weeks' time, there's going to be a situation where, you know, probably lockdown should be then be terminated to gradually allow businesses to. And I think, you know, contagion is not going to be as rife as it has been so far, because people are going to be taking their own precautions.
Let's hope so, Antonio. Let's hope
so. Just the economy has to go on. Otherwise, you know, even I think the same way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, you just going to be devastating a country or a continent.
Yeah. I mean, if the country, if you bankrupt the country, it can't afford to pay for itself system anyway. So that's the other side of it. Anyway, Antonio, thank you for your insight, as always, on the legal side of things here in Spain and a little bit of politics on the side. If anybody wants to get in touch with you and obviously may need some legal help coming out of all of this, how can they do that?
They can email us on info@lawbird.com. But also they can call us on 952-861890, because we still have our phones on. So business as usual.
Yeah, working from home.
Yes.
Have you wore a tie and suit for a while or not?
Yeah, what I'm doing is, you know, tie and suit and then my underpants.
Antonio, stay safe, my friend. We'll speak soon. Take care.
You too. Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.